Welcome, everybody, to Scarves and Spikes. Happy morning Monday. Well, I was going to say Wednesday, and then it all went bad. Happy morning Monday to morning all those that unfortunately celebrate this.
I thought you were going to say good morning. I thought you were saying good morning for a second. Like, it's morning.
Good morning,
somewhere.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's not a good morning.
It's not. Guys.
It's been a few rough days on social media.
Ugh.
We said this last week. If Atlanta United loses this game, it's going to get bad, especially on social media. And it's bad right now. But let's start off with the positive. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Had a good weekend. You know, my girlfriend's parents were in town, so we went out to dinner, got some Chinese. Went to her niece's violin recital, and. That's a good day. It's a good day. Tyler.
The weekend was great. I didn't go to the game. That's two that I've missed this year, and we're not looking good when I'm not there. I'm sorry, guys. Not going to put this on myself, though. Sorry. No, we had a good time. We went to Birmingham for my oldest 16th birthday.
Sweet 16.
Yep. It's really annoying.
I'll be driving
back
soon.
I've got a 16-year-old. But no, it was fun. We went to go see Nate Bargatze. That's his favorite comedian. Hung out in Birmingham, did an escape room. It was a good time.
By the way, did you escape? Nate,
we did escape. Yeah, we escaped with 10 minutes left. It was good.
By the way, Nate, if you're watching, we'd love to have you on. I don't know if you're a soccer fan or a football fan or whatever. We know you're a Tennessee guy. He's a Tennessee guy, right?
A big Tennessee guy.
We know you're a Southerner, so we imagine you're some sort of sports fan, SEC country or whatever. So, yes, if you're watching or listening, please let us know. Tommy, how was your weekend?
You asked. I think, my daughter also had her last choir concert. She was super emotional and crying at the end of it, which I didn't even know she really liked choir. So that was kind of a surprise that she was so emotional about it. But yeah, it was something. Spaces went on till almost midnight. Felt like 2021, 2022 again. It was Spaces was probably probably the highlight of my weekend.
That
if
was
anything.
Funny.
We'll get to that story, and hopefully I don't get Ian in trouble again after this. But let me tell you, I thought about it. I went on a walk before this, and I was just thinking about Atlanta United, and then I started thinking about other Atlanta sports. And the stuff that has happened to Atlanta sports in the past, 60-ish days have been, I understand every city's going to say, our town is jinxed, all of this. But I thought about this. And real quick, I'm going to summarize this of all the teams real quick. You had the Atlanta Falcons get the best quarterback, free agent quarterback available. Okay. His introductory press conference, he accidentally leaks that they tampered with him. So now the Falcons are going to lose draft picks. Then they go draft another quarterback. You can't have good things for more than a couple minutes. You have the Braves, big season coming up. Opening game, Strider gets out for the year. And they just keep losing guys left and right. They lost Austin Riley yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Braves, or not the Braves, I'm sorry, the Hawks. You got the Hawks get the number one pick, 3% chance.
Brody James, baby.
First thing that I see is Trey's getting traded. They're going to probably trade Trey. We can't have 2 minutes. We can't have 2 minutes to be happy. And then Atlanta United, we start off the season, saying this is going to be a great year. We've got the best lineup that we've had in years. We start off and we've got this sense of it's going to work.
I was told the best roster since the 2018 season. I don't know where I heard that.
I heard that too.
I don't know where I heard that, but someone
by my comments
in this room.
I'm looking at him.
Virtually.
We just can't have nice things for very long. It's just we get our hopes up and then something bad happens.
Men United lost to Arsenal.
Shut up. Don't go to other teams. We're sticking to Atlanta. We don't start talking about other sports.
Something going for me here.
No, but I get you, Tommy, and I'm sorry. As a sort of Atlanta sports fan, you know, who, you guys know me, I'm not a Braves fan. I'm a Mets fan. They put me through enough suffering. I'm a Bills fan. They put me through enough suffering, although, like, I'll root for the Falcons, whatever. You didn't mention Georgia. Well, Georgia didn't win the championship this year, so I guess it was a quote unquote down year for them.
Do you count Georgia as like the Atlanta team? Because I was curious, because like a lot of people think Ohio State, like Cleveland, I mean, people, yeah, like, oh, Ohio State.
For 40 years,
they struggled, and then they, you know, they had two, you know, back to back, and almost had the third. So
people forget that right
poor Georgia.
People forget that there's a college football team in the city of Atlanta. Yeah. To their credit, they haven't really done much to remind people that they're there. But no, I get it. I get what you're saying. And Atlanta United has kind of been in that same form. Now, we kind of joked about it, Tyler, what you were saying, you know, the talent of this team. And I wrote about it, you know, after the match. You know, there's just too much talent on this team to just be struggling in this way. You know, injuries, forget injuries, you know. You have to perform with the players you have. And Saturday just was another opportunity wasted. And we'll get to the matches against, well, the match against FC Cincinnati later on. And we'll plug, by the way, we're doing an interview with Cincinnati Soccer Talk on Patreon. So patreon.com/garvesandspikes. Thanks to those that support us on Patreon. If you want access to that interview, go ahead and sign up on Patreon as well. Go as far as scarvesandspikes.com. Get our latest insight on the matches from our team. Get merchandise. Get all the great stuff. Support our merch. Podcast. Support our show.
Merch.
Thanks to those that already support the merch. Show.
Merch.
And we're doing the watch-along.
Yes.
On Wednesday. If you're bored on a Wednesday, nobody does fun things on Wednesday, right? Nobody goes out, right? I think that's safe for Thursday. That's what the young kids do.
Right.
That's what, yeah. Wednesday night, come hang out with us on Zoom. We did this a few games ago. It was a good time. What game was it that we did it for? I don't even remember at this. It was the game. The Chicago game. Yeah. How could I forget?
Right.
It's don't growing back nicely, it. Though.
Yeah, that was a rough one. Yeah. Don't downplay it. Don't be like, if you're bored. No, you're not doing anything else. It's come the best on, thing going just do on it. Wednesday night. Just come on.
Just do it. Apparently, Bad Bunny is in Atlanta on Wednesday.
Bad who?
Bad Bunny.
Bad who?
So, Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny. Yeah.
You know, Bad Bunny is a very good WWE wrestler.
I've heard.
He's had like two matches, right. And it's they've all been bangers. Bad Bunny's okay. I mean, like, his music's okay. I don't speak Spanish, so I'm not very good at understanding what's going on in these songs. But so, it's a couple of my catches. Chris,
we can't even argue with this at this point. There's no argument.
So, Better Herons. Chris is our friend of Better Herons. Well, friend of me.
Damn it, Chris.
No, I'm just kidding, Chris. I was saying in the comments, we're coming for the W in 2 weeks, Tommy, one time. So, yes, but... Yeah, kind of. That's going to be a slaughter fest. But yeah, kind of switching back gears to
my U12 W right now.
But no, kind of switching back to Saturday. You know, you let the same guy score pretty much the same as that goal on you three times, and we all talked about coming into this match how good Benteke was in the air, right? And we saw it three times. And he could have had a fourth. He came really close to having a fourth in the second half. But we saw it. And Atlanta United just didn't adjust to what Benteke could do. And he hit them for a hat trick. And where's the best game set and match? The only thing he can manage is a penalty and a not goal, which sure their goals and penalty, of course, isn't from open play. Not goal kind of is, but you know, your offense didn't do too much. It was just too slow, just too
predictable.
Too predictable. Yeah, exactly. And I wrote about it as well. You know, it seems like they're just firing long balls downfield and just expecting something to happen and they weren't sure what. But yeah, it's just frustrating to see, you know, a player that we all knew the quality that he could bring to this match, and he burned LNE United 3 times, and 3-2 is the final score, and 3 matches in a row lost at home. Now, we have a question in the chat from Bruno Cubas. He is saying, if Atlanta wins the game versus Inter Miami, would Banner Harris Chris shave his beard? And we're going to, I feel like we should kind of work that out closer to the date. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'll work on that. I'll work on that with him and Danny.
Talk to your boy.
These guys,
talk to
your boy, these Tommy. Guys, yeah. Oh, I'll work on that. I'll get on that. So we're in a group text. I'll get it going.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Here's my question.
Go ahead.
Because I had this conversation the day after. So yesterday, I forgot what day it was. Objectively, and being fair, because I know what social media will say and yell, do you blame everything on Pineda? We had the argument, right? We had the conversation a while back. We did the kind of close to the end of season last year. You know, what percentage falls on Pineda? What percentage falls on the players? What percentage falls in the front office? And I think it's changed, but how much do you put on any of them at this point?
I think any team, when you look at any league of the NHL, maybe not baseball. Baseball hates firing coaches, firing managers. But, I mean, the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, if you're struggling and your fans are losing it and they start losing interest, doesn't matter who you're blaming it on. There's a, you know, you're going to see a move eventually at some point. But it just doesn't seem like the things are changing, right? It doesn't seem like they're trying anything different here. It's just the same game that we're watching over and over again. And, you know, and Pineda said it at his post conference. Like, this was one, you know, he's talked about it a lot. Like, oh, you know, if you look at the numbers, if you just looked on paper, you know, we're dominating this game. We're just not finishing the chances. But it's just going down. Like, now you're not getting the chances, right? Now these games are just absolutely boring, right? I mean, it's been hard to watch the last few games. Yeah, there's been a couple goals. But, I mean, you're not seeing the talent here. And let's face it, it's not just one guy, right? Like, we can't just keep talking about an injury, right? Like, I understand Gregerson was missed heavily in this game, right? He would have been on Benteke, right? But, I mean, it's...
Sure.
You're not changing things enough here, and you're seeing other good teams be able to pull out wins when they're supposed to, and we're just not getting it at this point.
Yeah,
I'll just say this. I'll let you answer Sydney in a second, but I don't think he June 1st. I think that there's no Gonzalo Pineda at this point. And before we go. Like, just again, we said this last week, but we keep saying, like, we don't not like Gonzalo Pineda. Like, I think we all, since the beginning, have rooted for this guy to be the guy, right? The guy that's going to be here long term, have everyone come up in the system, you know, just he's going to be here a long time, get his championships, all of that. But it's the end, the last year of his contract, fans are frustrated, and now. What you're hearing on these spaces and all of that is that the fans are worried that they might just hold on to him for the end of the year just for the sake of doing it because, you know, his contract expires at the end and it's a lost season. And that's what they're saying to us, right? That's what they're saying on spaces is another lost season. And I think that's what's frustrating the fans. And I answered way more than what your question was. I apologize, but I just wanted to get it out there.
That's all part of the conversation. Yeah. Sydney, what you got?
No, I was going to say, we don't want to. We said this before. We don't want this to be just banging the drum over and over again, pineda it out, because that's not what we do. That's not what this podcast, this show is about. At the same time, we have to take an objective look at the team, what they're doing, how they're performing, what the talent on the field is doing on a match-by-match basis. At the same time, you have now lost three matches at home, or three matches at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the first time in club history. You've lost six matches, or not lost six matches, but you've not won in your last six matches in MLS play. Open Cup was an outlier, and I've talked about this. Open Cup was an outlier. You're always going to win that match, really. But now you go into two matches. And again, we'll talk about Cincinnati a little bit later in depth. Now you go to two matches against a Cincinnati team, a really informed Cincinnati team, and a national team that you haven't beaten at their place since 2020, their inaugural match. And you wonder, will this team come back with a point in these two matches? Granted, Cincinnati is the Supporters Shield winners, Supporters Shield holders. They're a very talented team. So I think if Atlanta United lose that match, I don't think many people will bat an eye at that, right? But then if you go to Nashville, you go into this road trip without having won a match, and you lose at Nashville, you got to start asking some major, major questions about whether you pull the trigger right now and try to go after a manager. Dan said in the chat, Marcel Gallardo is available. He got sacked by Al Ittihad, but it looks like Milan want him, so that might be a bridge too far to bring Gallardo in. Granted, his son plays for the twos, but that might be a bridge too far. But if you think, Jesse Marshall's off the table too, he's with Canada, but if there is a manager you have in mind right now, this very moment, that you think would be a fit for Atlanta United, I don't think Garth Lagerwey will have any reservations about pulling the trigger now and going after Canada X. And I'm not going to mention, I'm not going to say this is for sure, but I mean, yes, Gio Savarese in New York doing broadcasting. I feel like he would be a logical candidate if Atlanta United were to make a move. And there are others, of course, but you really are at a major inflection point in the season because you have two matches on the road where you haven't won. Now, you can't win away. Yeah, you can't win away. You can't win at home. You have two matches coming up that the chips are against you, really, to win or get a result in the first place. Then you have Open Cup at Charleston, a very credible Charleston Battery team. At this point, I mean, there's a case to be made that Charleston could beat them at this point, how good they've been. So, you know, don't want to get too far ahead of the game, but that's kind of where I'm at, really. That's where I'm at in this discussion.
Well, so, I'm going to play devil's advocate real quick, just in this match, because it's been brought up that, you know, no changes are made, right? In this match against DC, you started off in your typical 4-2-3-1, right? Your formation, whatever. Yeah. And then coming out of the half, you switch, oddly, to, I don't know, I mean, essentially like a standard 4-3-3 in a way. You had Dax McCarty come in for Edwin Mosquera. You pushed Almada out to the left-hand side. And it stayed that way for a short time. And in that short time, you scored a second goal. I get it was fluky.
Yeah.
But Saba gets in there. He finally gets rewarded, right, for all the chances he's tried to have.
Sort of a Pyrrhic victory, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then they kind of swap it up after that, though, to a front two, to having two strikers on the field. So, like, it's not that Pineda's not playing the chess game, right? Yeah. But it's more of like, where's the mindset of this team? Where's that winning mindset that, you know, we heard so much about, that so much was talked about, and that we essentially, I think, saw in the beginning of the season. Now, there's always going to be the argument that those teams in the beginning of the season were ones that you should have beat, but you should have beat DC. You should have beat Chicago away. Yeah. You should have beat Philly at home. Cincinnati, whatever. I mean, they're a great team. Zilf saying the 4-2-3-1 is basically a 4-3-3, especially how we play it. Yeah. I think that's maybe part of the problem is like you're the 4-2-3-1, the whole point of it is to have a number 10 in the middle of that front three that is up there being that fourth guy, either on the left, right wings as a striker, he's a playmaker, whatever. But now you've got a midfield that is, I don't want to blame it all on them, but you've got Thiago Motta having to drop back once again into his own defensive third to get the ball. And then you're asking him to do everything all the way up until the final third. And it's so predictable. It's so predictable. So,
yeah.
Is that on Pineda all? Is that on the players all? Is it a mixture? What's the mixture? Because, I will say, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Pineda is going to get blamed, period.
Yeah.
That's just how it is in sports.
Can't fire the players.
Right. But I think the biggest point of contention, and maybe where some people get a little more, I don't know, in their frustrations about it is, you can't sit there and change everything on the pitch once the game gets started. But what you can do is bring the mentality and the mindset. And I feel like that's where everything is going wrong for this team, because it just at times it looks like they're stale. They're stagnant out there. The players aren't executing. And we've seen what happens when they do execute. It's a great thing. But I don't know, man. I do not want to be in that man's shoes. I do feel bad for him. I really do. It's easier when the head coach is a dick and you can be like, man, he's a dick and I can't wait for him to go.
Right.
Gonzalo Pineda is not a dick. Gonzalo Pineda is a good guy. I just wish he could figure it out. I wish he could figure out what it is and put his finger on it and fix it, because otherwise it's going to be a very short, I think, rest of the year for him, unfortunately.
I really like Dax McCarty's comment. And shout out to Joe and Sam from Five Strike Fight, all good friends over there. Give him a listen. Really liked his comments. They're candid. They're to the point. They were honest. You could tell guys like Dax, who have been around in this league forever, aren't just blowing hot air out. I could sense the conviction in what Dax was saying. And I wasn't even in the room. I was just reading what he was saying. And yeah, you know, there's frustration. There's absolutely frustration. And I feel like, yes, if you win one, you could start winning multiple matches. So I think there is credence to that. But I want to pull it up. He said something that, you know, I'll just kind of paraphrase. He said, you know, just because we're Atlanta United, we're not just, that doesn't guarantee us a win. Quote, I feel like right now we all need a little bit of a dose of humility, and that's everyone, collective, as a team. We can't step on the field and expect that because we're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because we're Atlanta United, that teams are just going to roll over and give us a win and the result. End quote. And I feel like there's this mindset. Look, I know LA United want to be a big club. Absolutely. And
they are, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's just this hubris around this team that I feel like that's kind of encapsulated perfectly. You know, we're the big guys, and teams are just going to walk all – we're supposed to walk all over teams. No, that's not going to happen. And maybe that quote-unquote dose of humility is just what this team needs. And again – I left Dax. You know, we've talked to him before, you know, right after he got here. He doesn't just say things for effect. He's very well thought out. He's a leader. He's been in this league for years. He's been on winning teams. He's been on losing teams. He's been on teams in between. So when he says something, you listen. And you hope that this message that he's talking about, that we need to be humble, is a message that needs to be heard all throughout that locker room, because Atlanta United really can't beat anybody at this point. I mean, this Mercedes-Benz Stadium, so also a place where you don't lose. And now you aren't winning. You aren't winning there. You aren't winning on the road. So maybe that dose of humility is what's needed to get this team back on track.
The fans are turning. You know, I mean, I retweeted, I think James posted the video, but, you know, I heard a chant at the end of the game, and you could barely hear it, like what the actual lyrics were. I'm like, this is something, did they change the We Are the A lyrics? Yes. Something in Spanish? I couldn't tell what it was. And then I see the video, and it's just basically, we effing suck. And it was very loud in the supporter section, and other people said that they heard it from surrounding sections.
Yeah.
You talk about humility, though, but, like, you've had this. You've had the situations. You blew the lead against Philadelphia. Then you have the Cincinnati game, and then the Chicago. And all of these games, it just keeps building up and building up, and you expect when you see results like this that, yeah, you're going to be at your lowest, and then it's going to start going back up, right? I felt like we were maybe at the lowest, but it's not going up. It's going down. It's continuing to go down.
They got booed off the pitch.
Right, and like the schedule was just getting harder, right? The schedule's getting way harder. I mean, like you said, I mean, the Open Cup game is the only one where, like, at this point, I feel like you have to go all in on this Open Cup game. Like,
yeah.
I saw Zilf put in the chat earlier, like, no, they're going to play young people. At this point, you want to make Champions League, right? If that's your goal, that's the goal every year. You know, obviously, there's win trophies and all of that, but they want to be in Champions League. They want to be at the best. Well, that's your only path at this point. Again, it's early in the season, but from what we've seen so far, it hasn't been good. Now, granted, sounds like you're getting Gregerson back, right? Williams is on his way back. TR is practicing. Silva played 30 minutes. Like, you're going to get a lot of these guys back. Okay. It's a hard schedule. If they pull out some wins here, I'll back off and say, okay.
Yeah.
Like, things, maybe it is. But, you know, it's not just missing, you know, one guy on the offensive side of the ball where you're saying it's just magically going to get better with Silva, because it hasn't. And it just seems like everything's off. The passes have been off. They don't seem to know where everyone's going to be. Like, that's not the case last year. And the only reason why I keep bringing up last year was because we were rolling. We were, you know, going into the playoffs, we were an offense to be feared. I mean, Pineda said it. We were the highest scoring team in, like, the last 45 games or whatever. But yeah, 100% we were. But now we don't look anything like that team. And maybe it's some of it's they figured us out. But when you start, and we haven't seen this yet, but, like, a lot, you know, during, you know, you see a lot in the NFL and the NHL where fans are wearing bags over their heads. And, you know, I mean, you had Boca out signs years ago. Like, that was something that was happening in the stadium. It's going to get louder. And you heard the boos on the TV broadcast. When I was listening to the 92.9 right before half, you heard a lot of boos as the team walked off the field. And then at the end of the game, you heard a lot of boos in the last, you know, 30, 40 seconds-ish. I mean, it's not there. It's a business, and it has to do with money as well. But when you hear from fans that the stadium's empty compared to what it usually is on a Saturday night, you're hearing the boos. You know, you're seeing a lot of tickets. I mean, someone mentioned to me, I looked online, there were a lot of resale tickets available that ended up not getting sold. A lot of people on Twitter tweeting that, you know what, I just don't feel like going to the game today. Anybody want these tickets for free?
Yeah.
I don't usually see that as much online. And now this game, like, this, if anything, this would have been the game I would have wanted to have gone to this month, because it was probably the game that I would have circled that most likely Atlanta United would be able to win.
What did Gigi say last year? That we can bring fans in, but we can send them away the same way? Yeah, I don't think you're, like, DEFCON 10 or anything like that, but you're starting to see, you know, maybe just a little bit of apathy, not where fans don't care, because your fans care. Fans care because they're mentioning it. They're watching our shows. They're listening to our podcast or listening to Five Stripe Final. You know, they're engaged. So fans care. But, you know, it's getting to a point, Tommy, you kind of mentioned it. You know, some fans are, you know, just frustrated to the point. They're like, you know, screw this. We don't want to go. And I hope that things don't get to the point where this team is just so bad that nobody ever wants to go. You know, they're playing in front of 20,000 people. And, you know, we talked about Tyler, you know, is Atlanta United, do players take it for granted that they play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium? And it kind of feels like they do. Some of them do, it feels like. But they have to get things right. They have to shake off this bad run of form that they've been on for a while. Again, it's one thing to lose on the road. Losing in front of your own fans, that's a totally different story.
Yeah. I think that's where I keep coming back. And of course, I wasn't at this game, but I do see, you know, I pay attention to the players. I pay attention to the fans as well when we're getting ready to go downstairs and go to the locker room and the press conference and all that kind of stuff. And you should be happy that this fan base is as passionate as they are. You really should be. But
yeah,
that comes with a standard, and it comes with a degree of criticism that may be harsh at times. And maybe the way that it's put out is not always the in the finest words, and words are maybe not minced. Maybe things are a little meaner than they should be, but I would much rather have that kind of fan base than no fan base at all. I would much rather have that kind of fan base than people not showing up to the bins.
Yep.
Unfortunately, you know, like you said, you're not in jeopardy of just having an empty bins, but you are rapidly gaining detractors. And I will tell you, it is much harder to regain fans that have maybe been there for a long time,
yep,
that are used to, as part of their routine, going to games because that's just what they do. And then they finally decide, well, this sucks. This is not worth my time right now.
No.
And then it's really tough to get them back. And I see it slowly happening. I really do. Just, this is not an opinion. This is not just social media, which can be a freaking echo chamber at times. This is us being out there running a website, running a podcast, talking to fans, not just supporter section fans, but the guy that's over across from the supporter section that just brought his family there.
Right.
This is talking with people out and about that, you know, you see at a soccer field, they're wearing an Atlanta United jersey, and you start talking and you're like, hey, you know, the team, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, man, it sucks right now. It's frustrating. It's so hard to go.
Yeah.
That's where the fan base is at right now. And that sucks. And the only way you're going to get out of that, changing a coach isn't going to fix things. And I hate to like break that to anybody, because the next coach could come in and suck really bad. Like, that could be a thing that happens. What fixes it is winning, period. Period. Bar none. Period. You got to go win. But
fans want a scapegoat. That's the thing. Fans want a scapegoat.
They do. And that's why I asked the question. Like, it's on everybody. It's not just Pineda. Yeah. Pineda's the one in charge. He has to fix it. But you have to win at home. You have to win at home.
Or at least be fun watching at home. At least.
Yeah, because that's, you know what I mean? The crappiest 3-2 loss I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but the games haven't really been that entertaining, right? I mean, they haven't been as entertaining as they've been. Right. Yeah. They're spurts, right? Oh, all of a sudden they're going to start playing, you know, against Minnesota in the 70th minute. Oh, well, you know, I wish I would have stayed outside in the supporters lot and drank a little more than come into the game early, because, this team doesn't start. I mean, real quick, I mean, I thought they started off with urgency to start the game. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it, Tyler. Sydney, I don't know if you agree. Like, it came out and it seemed like, okay, it looked like they were trying to attack.
Yeah.
Which is something that I haven't really seen a lot in the first couple games. And then it started, going, you know, dying down. And I mean, that's the frustrating part here. And, you know, again, Valentino isn't going to fix this team if he's the guy that takes over here. Mm-hmm. But would it make the fans happy? Okay. They're gonna have to think here, like, what's the pluses and minuses? Like, let's get the board out here, right? Let's write all the positives and the negatives if you go from there. I mean, ultimately, in the end of this, I think we can all safely say, unless there's some type of miracle, I mean, right now, I mean, there's a 99.99% chance that we have a different manager next year, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anything that he could pull out here where all of a sudden it just turns around. Now you got to figure out, because, like, yeah, right. And, like, that's what I mentioned earlier. Like, the fans want something. You know, I mean, the fans, you got to give the fans something to look for. And I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions from here of you know, when's the right time, right? Because, like, say you go on over these next couple days and things don't work out. Are you going with a new coach right before the Open Cup game? Your only chance at a possible trophy? Like, is that something you do? Do you try to get the coaches bump for the Open Cup game and hope that you move on from there? I don't know.
If I was in that boat, I'll just throw this out there. If I was in that boat, and again, y'all know how I feel about Pineda. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, Pineda out. You know, the club needs a change for sure, whatever that may be. But, like, if it were to come down to that decision, I could care less that the Open Cup is the next match, because nothing. Please don't come back and try to use this as a receipt without full context. Nothing against Charleston Battery. Nothing against Charleston Battery. But I should be able to walk out there on the sideline and have this team go out and beat Charleston Battery. Right. You could not have a manager on the sideline. And they should be able to go out and win because they have the freaking talent. They do. I wouldn't.
So you hate the Charleston Battery like Sydney hates Almada and Pineda.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to be there, so I might be getting shanked in a couple of weeks.
So how are you guys feeling about FC Cincinnati on a 4-game winning streak?
We're not even at that point.
are we just like delaying things right now? Just delay the conversation about Cincinnati.
Yes.
I'm so glad I'm not driving to Cincinnati for this game. I think it's going to be my first time missing a Cincinnati game.
After a minute.
I think I've been, you know, trying to go to all of them. I hope I'm wrong. And Tyler, I know you hate my negativity of all this. But
you calling Tyler negative, by the way?
I think we're screwed. I think we're screwed in this game. I just don't see it. I just can't see it. And last year, the last few times you played Cincinnati, you've gotten the lead to start it, and then you end up not getting it. I mean, it's going to take a lot for this team to somehow get a result here. And I just don't see it.
The only plus, I mean, you can look at from Charleston is that Cincinnati is that they don't score really. I mean, they've not scored more than twice at all this season. I'm just saying it.
But they have the golden boot leader in USL Championship.
No, true.
I'm writing this down. Sydney.
No. You're talking about Cincy. I'm sorry.
Cincinnati. I said Charleston by mistake. No.
So they put up six? Is that what you're saying, Sydney?
No. Like I said, I'm just putting it out there. I'm just for prosperity, just throwing out facts. They beat Atlanta 2-1 at Mercedes-Benz, beat Colorado 2-1 at home, went on the road back to back. Beat Orlando 1-0 and Columbus 2-1. And hell is real up at lore.com. Lucho scored the second one. And then their new signing, Kevin Kelsey, from overseas, he scored the other one, his first goal in MLS. So that's another player that they've brought in to bolster what's been just an attack that hasn't been able to get it going fully this season. This team was among the top scoring teams in MLS last season. They had 57 goals. This season, they have just 15 goals in 12 matches. So they aren't scoring. They're defending, of course. They're defending. As we all know, this traditionally has been a really good defending team. Of course, it has Miles Robinson, Miazga. But now with Kelsey coming in, they're hoping that this is a player that can really take their attack to the next level in the way that Brandon Vasquez was able to provide some of that scoring for them. But Pensta has been pretty much a bust for them, essentially. You know, now he's out because some boxer from Cincinnati punched him in the jaw and put him out for like 6-8 weeks. But, you know, of course, Acosta, defending MVP, we can't forget him. So, I mean, they are a team that is looking like they're hitting their stride and a team that could challenge for the Shield again, you know, in the world without Miami. So that's where they stand right now. And yeah, I don't blame the fans for feeling pessimistic about this, because this is a really good Cincinnati team, considering Atlanta hasn't lost or hasn't won on the road. Bungle Fungle said we need a training make train face or something. Turn it up to 11. I don't know what that means. This,
we need a mascot.
We need a hype man.
Oh.
We need a hype man.
Exactly.
This is what sucks, because, I mean, of course, soccer is a weird game. And this might be the time that all of a sudden Atlanta decides to be able to win two matches on the road in a row. We don't know. But all signs point to no. And I'm just not confident. I'm really not confident, because you've lost the ones that you should have won, or not won the ones that you should have won. You've dropped so many points that you should not have dropped. And man, I hate to repeat myself. This is going back to last year and the year before, but like, a good team wins the matches that they're supposed to win. A great team wins the matches that they're not supposed to necessarily win. And right now, Atlanta's not doing either one of those. And you're about to go on the road to the reigning Supporter Shield winners, and then to a team that plays in the middle of a bridal shower or something up in Nashville.
Oh.
Whatever. I'm just. I thought
you're still talking about Cincinnati.
No. Talking about Nashville after that. Oh. I
threw up in Nashville once.
Well, I think a lot of people have. You're not alone.
Yeah, exactly. You're not the first. You're not breaking new ground.
I don't know, man. I don't know. This is no bueno. You know, I'm just saying. And who is it? Bruno said we need a TikToker like the Flash, Speed. Who is the dude?
Breck Shea.
No. The one that came to the Benz a few weeks ago, and did like a. Just like a
Kirk Cousins
kind of a vlog. No. This is before Kirk. It was just like a YouTuber. Starts with
Andrew Carlton.
Is it Bronco? Is that his name?
Bronco.
The Bronco.
Yeah, DeBron. I was right. See, I'm hip.
Good job.
Omar. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that guy.
Isn't it an animal?
Yeah. No,
it's a truck.
This all started then. I'm just saying. This all started then. It's all been down.
Who Jelly Roll was? Is that Jelly Roll? Is that his name?
Yep.
Yes.
He was on wrestling, and I was like, "What's this Jelly Roll?" And someone's like, "Oh, it was like one of those popular singers." I'm like, "Who?"
I couldn't name you one song of his, but
I think he played at the New Year's Eve shindig.
Okay, sure. I believe you. I wouldn't know, but I believe you.
Oh yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah.
He was eating the food?
Yeah.
Like talking about, like, I think he said the burgers suck.
Yeah. Which I don't know.
I never had the burger. Ban
him from the Benz. Ban him from the stadium.
He's a singer? I thought he was just a YouTube guy. Someone.
I don't know.
Edgar. He's going on an MLS tour. He's going to all the different stadiums to check him out. He went to he went to the Benz a few weeks ago, had nothing but rave reviews for the Benz, and okay for the team. You know, he kind of rates everything, and he gave a pretty good rating for Atlanta. But then after that, things just freaking fell apart, and here we are now.
It was the Orlando game, right?
I think it was the Orlando game, yeah.
So the Bronco curse then?
Yeah. I was going to reach out to him and be like, man, what did you do? Like, what did you hide in somebody's locker while you were here?
We did win the Chicago game afterwards, so it wasn't him.
I mean, that might have been like a false flag, though. Because it feels right. Like
yeah, we'll figure it out.
If anybody can figure out what's going on with this team right now, you're gonna make a lot of money.
So help us. Someone let us know.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Before we forget. Thank you to everybody that came on Spaces. It was probably one of the greatest nights of Spaces that we've had in a long time. It was packed. Everybody got, you know, everything that they wanted in. But I hope E, if he's listening right now, turn it off, because I'm going to tell the story. But E came in very emotional about the game, just very upset about Atlanta United.
The definition came in hot.
And you could tell something was going on with this phone while his fiance was dialing him many times. And I told him, answer the phone, E. You've been going on for about 5 minutes. I don't want you to get even more upset and get your fiance mad. He didn't answer it. And then right at the end of what he was about to say, that car door opened and his fiance was there. And man, was she pissed. Oh, man. Yes. It was the greatest moment of Spaces of all time. I don't care what Spaces it was. Just hearing that, like, I get in trouble with my wife on occasion, not often, but like my friends enjoy when I get yelled at by my wife. But man, I enjoy when someone else gets yelled at by their wives and it's not me. And that was that was an experience for everybody.
It really was. It was
impressive. I was trying to help.
It was impressive. And
by the way, you all should join us on Spaces after every Atlanta United match.
Yeah, we should. You get the quality entertainment you had no idea you were missing in your life.
Quick advertisement.
Yeah. It was so funny. We were driving back from Alabama, and I remember where we were exactly. We were getting off of I-20, turning to go south on I-75 right at the turn, because me and my wife and my oldest son were dying laughing. It was freaking hilarious. I really hope he's still with us. I hope we're not talking about a dead man at this point, because it sounded like it. It was rough. It was rough.
By the way, if
he messaged me.
Good. If you listen to Spaces while you're driving, just be careful.
Yeah.
Just, you know, they have those warnings on medicine labels, you know, be careful driving when taking this, or you know what it says, but yes, be careful with consuming Spaces while driving. You never know what will happen.
Or doing anything.
There was a lot of Almada. Zilf put in here the amount of Almada slander I heard made me cry. There was a lot of Almada slander.
And I wasn't even there to do it. So it wasn't
on Spaces?
Me. Yeah, don't blame me.
Oh, no. You. No. Okay, I get it.
You know what? I will say this about Almada. Zilf, cover your ears. No, I'm kidding. Being for real, you know what I want to see out of Almada? In the time that
he's playing center back?
He already does that. So, he needs, I want to see him step up as a leader, like as a genuine leader on the field and off the field. I just want to see him, you know, I understand his age. I do. But with his talent and with now his tenure here at Atlanta United, I mean, he's been here for a couple of years now, which is crazy to think. I want to see him. He's the one that's taking penalties, right? He's the one taking penalties from the striker. That's cool. That's cool. I got no problem with that. But I think if you're going to be the guy that's going to do that, I want to see some more fire. I want to see some more passion. And I want to see him get a little pissed off. I want to see him, you know, running around hyping people up, hyping the fans up. And I get maybe that's not his personality to a degree, but I want to see him step up and be more of a leader. I'm not talking about giving him the captain's armband, but I am talking about him stepping up and being the guy that this team expects him to be. They've built the team around him at this point. He has to take advantage of that and own it.
So essentially what I've been saying for the past 6 weeks, but it's called a hater.
Look, I didn't
someone apparently
Jaws.
Said Wolf is better than Omada.
I'm messing with you.
I don't remember this. I don't
think it was E that said that.
Oh.
I think that was E that said that.
All right. So then let's just stop here. E's fiance. Gotta have a talk with this guy. All right. I tried to get him to answer the phone. He wouldn't listen. But man, Tyler
put down the weed.
So Tyler's not a matter. But no, did you say put down the weed?
Yeah.
Oh, never, sir. Never.
Not you. Not
you. I never, sir. That's not a side effect. Trust me. Of making a mind. Again, it's the people are passionate, and you learn that from these spaces over the years. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I got into the spaces, was because I just wanted to talk to other Atlanta United fans about the game. You know, I got some buddies here, but like, you guys go to the games, and we hear some, you know, great perspectives of people coming in and talking about what the crowd was like that you can't, you know, always hear or see on TV. And you know, if this was a plastic team where you hear all the stupid Orlando fans say all the time or whatever, plastic fans, like, that's not it. You see all the people that come in here, come in spaces, comment on the website, tweet about it. Like, they all ultimately care. And, you know, they're spending their weekends, you know, spending money, spending time. You know, they want to see this team win. You know, it's not just a party. Stupid Philadelphia. It's, you know, we want to win. We want to win trophies. And that's, they gotta get there. Oh, yeah. And by the way, on top of to end the night, Miguel Berry scores a damn goal. What in the hell?
Equalized.
I know. I mentioned that earlier.
Edgar, if you're still here, I know he mentioned it earlier. Now his fan base is having the argument of, is Berry worth keeping?
Right.
Someone tweeted, an LA Galaxy fan said, anyone but Berry. And I like retweeted it with like a stupid like strawberry going, hee, hee, hee. And then I woke up the next morning and I went, oh, damn it. Oh, damn it. He ended up scoring a banger.
So, how are you guys feeling about Cincinnati?
So, Doug tweeted me back because I tweeted like right when the half was like, please let Silva in at the half. And he ended up responding after the game and said he was only set to play 30 minutes. Like, that was what was there. I don't know, guys. I mean, someone actually said, what does the team do about the Mosquera situation? That wasn't it.
Shout out Joe Bowman.
Yeah, Joe was. That wasn't it. That was a real bad performance, real bad. And I keep wanting to be a Mosquera believer, right? Like he's fun to watch at times, but very frustrating on the others. I mean, you got a depth issue here, and I think that's one thing that frustrates me is when I hear like we don't have depth. A lot of teams don't have depth, guys. Like, I know, like, Garth has said, like, I think we're, like, the roster is, like, 75 or 80% optimized. Yeah, you know what? That's the Ibarra and Sosa and, you know, some of the Etienne money that you still have on the books there. I get that. But, I mean, other teams have the same type of issues. But we're not, I mean, last year we were getting stuff out of these guys. And, like, mm-hmm. I think that's what people forget about, right? Like, Wolf was scoring last season, right? I know they weren't bangers, but he was in the right place at the right time. Mosquera was scoring some beauties, right? Like, he had a couple nice goals. You're not getting it from these guys here, and you're not getting it from a lot of your starters either. I mean, this will get better, I think. You know, contracts are going to go. You're going to sell some guys. It's going to get better eventually. But right now, this roster's too damn good. If you turn injury mode off, in this world, right? You have, you know, one of the, we said this last year too. We had a good lineup, but like, you turn injury mode off here and nobody's hurt, you have a pretty good team. But I don't know if you had all your healthy guys here, if the result would have been much different. Maybe Gregerson helps, but
Gregerson's the only one I could see being like a big difference maker at this point. But that doesn't fix the fact that you have on paper, besides Miami, the best attack. I mean, you've got Nyakamak has won two golden boots in two different leagues. You got Thiago Almada, who, what else do I need to say? Saba, who seems to be getting in all the right places and just is unlucky as heck. Shaunde Silva was great last year. Like, and then Mosquera has had moments. Tyler Wolf has had moments. Like, the talent's there. But they're there. Most of them are playing, right? Yeah. And they're still not scoring. And I do think having Steon Gregerson in this last match, I think we would be having a different conversation. But I think it would have masked the bigger problem, which is you haven't been playing good soccer, period. Mm. You just haven't. You've had some good clean sheets. You've had flashes, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, of where you're urgent and clean. There's a difference between being urgent and clean and urgent and kicking the ball wherever you feel like kicking it. Like, but that's what you've seen a lot of. And that's what it's got to be cleaned up. So in a way, I mean, maybe it's a blessing, because I think Steon would have pocketed Benteke. I really do. His experience and the fact that he can jump like the size of a giraffe. Like he would have, I think, been a difference maker. And that's nothing against Noah Cobb. The whole team didn't look turned on in most of this match. But you gave the job to an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, to go and defend the guy who was sitting on his third hat trick of the season already. So, what do you
do? To be fair, I mean, who else is going to defend him?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. And that there's not much you can do about that. But I don't think you should have allowed the same goal three times, knowing good and well what you were going up against.
That's true.
You were going up against a guy that had three times as many aerial duels wins as anybody else in the league. And what did we allow him to do? Get three more.
Yeah. So, predictions, where are we at? How bad is it?
Tyler, you anybody,
well, I don't think anyone's going to say a win here, but does anyone think there's a draw?
I mean, considering since he has struggled to score this season, I mean, they haven't scored more than twice in the single match this season. You can see a 1-1 draw, to be honest with you. I mean, that's a victory. That should be a victory in itself for Atlanta United to draw in the place where has quickly become a very nice home field advantage for FC Cincinnati. So that's how I see it, a 1-1 draw. You know, I'm not expecting too much out of this match. It's not going to be an offensive shootout. But yeah, I say a goal apiece. You know, get out of there with the point, come back home, train for Nashville, and then be happy, I guess. Not be happy, but be, you know, content with a point against a team that, again, has struggled to put the ball in the back of the net, but has been very good defensively. So 1-1. Split points between the two sides.
I'll jump in. I think it's 3-1 Cincinnati. We'll see where Gregerson's at. I don't know with the concussion. I mean, obviously he was looking to start, right? I mean, the last game, or, you know, the Open Cup, right? He was supposed to be starting, then he had it. As long as he's clear there, he starts. And you know, obviously you hope that that's what makes it better. You know, being, you know, I still think if he starts, then maybe it's 2-1. So I'll stick with, I'll say 2-1.
Man, this sucks. This sucks.
I mean, you're already at the bottom of the table in predictions anyways.
Pal. I'm not even worried about that. It's just that everybody has taken my prediction already.
3-1 Cincinnati?
3-1 Cincinnati.
Wow. Tyler Piggy gets Atlanta United.
Yeah, it's a dark day. It's a dark day.
I never thought I would see the day Tyler picks against Atlanta United. This is where we're at. This is where we're at.
I mean,
you just kept saying it was going to get better, and now you're at this point. It's okay. This is what we're all here for.
You're the real MVP, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there. But no, I mean, who's going to bet against Atlanta United at home most of the time? They've never lost.
He's losing it on YouTube. This is better than shaving a beard on YouTube. He's losing it.
They've never lost three in a row at home.
And there's broken.
And then you go and you poop the bed entirely. So no, I couldn't bet against them, but now you're going away. You can't win away. You don't win away. And you expect me to be like, yeah, there's some positivity there. I don't know. I can't. Things are broken. Something's got to be flipped upside down or thrown into lockers or whatever.
Maybe that's what we needed to happen, is for you to predict them to lose a match.
Maybe. Maybe y'all feel like the cold is on you right now.
If that's why you're picking against them every single match from here on out.
Yeah, if they win in Cincinnati, 3-0 to whatever team is playing Atlanta every time. There's a lot to be said for superstition.
Yeah.
Ray has a good question. This is valid. Looking at the schedule, will Atlanta United win a match before Almada goes to Copa America or the Olympics?
I don't know, Gray.
Is it an is it an MLS team? I think we can.
Yes, they will.
They will.
When does he leave?
I mean, look at the schedule.
June 20th. Is when Copa America starts, so this last match would be probably June 15th at home against Houston. So
you got, I mean, we've gone through the month of May, you know, a lot over the past couple of weeks. But yeah, in June you're home against Charlotte, you're home against Houston, and then the 19th, and then that Wednesday you have a midweek game on the road against Washington, DC.
United.
Yeah. Well, guys,
we need a happy
with that. Come watch the game with us on Wednesday. After all of this been said here, friends need friends during these hard times, and that's what we're here for. Come hang out. It's going to be a good time. We'll have some fun, and let's see what happens. And then we are planning, and just playing ahead, I think we're going to do a live YouTube watch along for the Miami game. I think that's what we're talking about. So that could be a lot of fun, or real bad. Real, real bad.
Lamb with the slaughter.
Yeah.
And Thursday, Thursday, we will also be back again. These midweek games are coming, and we got to keep up with it. So we're working double duty as well. So y'all be back Thursday, working on a guest. We'll see what's up.
I'll be here.
Jason said there will be misery.
I'll be here.
I won't. I can only do so much Atlanta United in a week. I'm going to the minor league hockey playoffs.
For those after the fact, I'm trying not to like really laugh. Edgar, much love, fellas. We all go through these ups and downs. I mean, look at the Galaxy last year and look at where they're at now. Anything can happen, right? No. But he said, thanks for Barry. I guess Tyler's still faster than Barry, who runs like Wario. And now I've got a mental image of Wario just running in my head.
Wario.
Hey, that was good. That was good.
Hey, we still have a summer transfer window to be able to make some moves too. You're gonna have to subtract some players to add some, but I think there's an opportunity to make this team better. And you know, maybe this is the point where you move on from Amada. I don't know. We'll see.
I'll save that hot take for maybe Thursday.
Another discussion for another day, my friend.
Because I'm going to dive in, and I'll come with evidence, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll be ready.
Oh, boy. All right, guys. Well, everyone, thanks for hanging out with us. You know, like I said, we'll Wednesday, join us for the watch-along on Patreon. Join the Patreon. We have a lot of fun in the Discord. It was live. Very live over the weekend. I think I came back to our match thread and there was 30, 40 posts in there.
And still going. Yeah. And still
going. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. But, again, we'll be back on Thursday for a show. We'll still do spaces after the game on Wednesday. We'll do spaces after the game on Saturday. We're just going to keep on moving.
Free therapy, at least. At least you get free therapy, guys.
Please, just no more surprises, Atlanta sports teams. Just nothing. Maybe this is all on Kirk Cousins. Maybe Bruno's right. Maybe Kirk Cousins is just, I don't know. We got the first pick in the NBA draft. I don't know. Just hit the music. I can't take anymore. Good night, everybody. Thanks for hanging out.
I have a question. Tommy, what do you feel about Bronny James in the Atlanta Hawks uniform?
Get the hell out of here. If they take LeBron's son with the first pick, no. Just burn the stadium. Like, I hope, like, when you burn it, like, it doesn't fly over and burn Mercedes-Benz as well, but burn State Farm Arena. If they take LeBron's kid, I will never watch basketball again.
Is that a promise?
Remember the last time you used such a directive? It didn't turn out well, Tommy.
They are the worst run team in Georgia. By a lot. They're terrible. Their owners are idiots. We're not a Hawks podcast, so I could say that. Arthur Blank doesn't own them. You're all idiots.
So I guess we're not having Tony Wrestler on the podcast.
No, don't have him on there.
Or Jamie Gertz.
No, don't have any of them on there. Screw that team. Hit end now. All right. I don't want to hear my rants about the Hawks.
By the way.
See y'all.
Go.